City Current, produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or listen on KDAC 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to another edition of City Current. It is Wednesday, September 12th, and we are here in the studios at Dakota Media Access. And I'm here along with two Bismarck City Commissioners, kind of an unusual setup for us, Commissioner Sean Oban and Commissioner Greg Zenker. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Glad to have you here today. Typically, we have Jason Timonic here from the city administration, but he is in studio. He's just a little off camera because we have a tiny space to work with. So
what's it say about Jason? Well, there's two guys that got to replace him, though.
That's right. That's right. And he's sitting off camera, so he's our safety net in case we say something wrong or he needs to correct us. So we've got a little bit of help with Jason off camera. So. But thank you for being here today. Commissioner Oban is our liaison commissioner to sit on our Dakota Media Access Board. So you've been with us a number of times down here in the studio.
Yes, and it's great to come back to the facility.
Yeah.
You know that we have this for the city.
Yeah, and you've been here for KDAC Radio for a fundraiser late last year, and you've been here on City Current a couple of times. So welcome back.
Thanks.
And Commissioner Zenker, you're a newly elected city commissioner.
Yeah.
You are the new guy, yeah. And the reason you're both here today is because you share a portfolio. You both have portfolio assignments, and I should mention, too, that those portfolios are available on your website. I mean, you can see a list of your portfolios that you work with, also your contact information. So bismarcknd.gov will get you that information, and you can go there. But as a new commissioner, Commissioner Zenker, I just wanted to ask you you've only been around, a couple of months?
About three.
three months. So what have you discovered so far? What's anything unexpected?
Well, there is. I mean, I knew the budget process was going to be a daunting task, and it was way bigger than I thought. And I did the best I could, and I reached out to some people to get me some advice, hey, look for this, look for that. But it's great. You know what? I've had a ton of fun. Some people might call that a little bit weird or whatever, but I've been very appreciative of Commissioner Oban and Commissioner Marquardt and Commissioner Guy. They're very welcoming to the new table, so to speak, and
showing you the ropes.
Yeah, and kind of I'm a loose cannon in that meeting. If you watch any of them, I think everybody could attest to that.
We appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned it is. There's some heavy lifting involved. Their learning curve is pretty steep, I think, for a new commissioner coming into office, and you've obviously stepped up to the plate because you have a lot to say at the meeting.
Yeah, we have a lot to say. We have a lot to do. And I think for both commissioner, all of us, all five of us, even the mayor, we all have quote unquote our real jobs, our professional jobs. And we have to give a shout out to our employers who allow us to take time from them to give to the city. And I have two great employers who say, do what you got to do. Just make sure you get your work done.
Yeah, that's a good point to make.
So far, it's worked out very well.
And our families as well.
Yeah.
Because it is time and Tuesday night meetings. And last night being, only 3 hours.
Yeah,
that's time away from family, too. Yep.
3 hours at the meeting. The prep time is a little bit more than that. Yeah. So, and we talk about that, too. When Jason has been at the City Current before, we talk about people running for office, encouraging people to run for office and expect to work. Mm-hmm. Expect that there will be some heavy lifting that goes along with
it. Yeah, it's not entitlement. I mean, I I'm a hands-on type of person, so roll up my sleeves and go to work. And I'll mess something up. I mean, I'm gonna fail at something. I'm okay with that because I'm gonna learn.
That's right.
And then we're gonna be better for it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there
point.
Is significant prep work and going and standing on corners to make sure that you can see the issues through the taxpayers' eyes and make sure that you fully understand exactly what you're talking about.
I've heard
about.
You mention that before, that you stand on street corners periodically
to check things out.
Well, speaking of the meeting and speaking of budget, you mentioned that was one thing that was on your agenda last night, and that was under consent agenda. So it wasn't discussed. It was just a formality. It was the introduction of the 2019 budget. So I think it's a really important point because your next meeting on September 25th will be the public hearing for this, for the budget. So this is an opportunity for the public to come forward and comment on the budget for next year. They certainly can in the meantime. And I want to point out that you can go to your website, again, bismarcknd.gov, and find that budget in its entirety We do. You just go to the finance area on the website, and you can go into the 2019 preliminary budget, and it is here in all its entirety. We're waiting for it to load up. It's a little slow. Should have had that preloaded. You can also go into your agenda items too on the bismarcknd.gov and find that. So it takes a little while for it to load up because it's 300 plus pages of budget. So got it on the screen right now, and it's very detailed. So there's a lot of content here, but if people would take a quick look at it, give some feedback. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. In fact, I've had one citizen already reach out to me on a couple items on there, and I have to do my due diligence. I need to do some research and so I can get them the right answer.
Yeah.
Instead of, hey, read the other 370 pages and figure it out.
Yeah. So. And it's very multi-layered. There's, as you say, many buckets. Coming in here that feed these various responsibilities in the city. So it's detailed. Mm-hmm. So, and it's an annual process. This is something that you go through every year. So it's a big undertaking, and Commissioner Marquardt is the
last year, I think, right?
Because of state law change.
Yep. Right. Yeah. Right. So. Okay. Well, so next meeting we'll look to that public hearing. Mm-hmm. There'll be people, I'm sure, testifying. Moving on to the regular agenda, last night we had a report from Bruce Witte, who is a volunteer chair of the Highland Acres group, that's the Highland Acres neighborhood that is looking for historical designation for the neighborhood. And he explained, I think there was a representative from the Historical Society there as well, but they explained the process that they've gone through to reach this designation. And this really started with a discussion about sidewalks. Is that correct?
Yeah, it started, and it was, and sidewalks being one of my portfolios, the GAP program and filling in gaps that we have around our community. And me, having worked at Roosevelt and Highland Acres in that area, I was familiar with the gaps that are there. Those were some of the items that we proposed. And so when that area came up, Bruce had come to the meeting and said that they wanted to go down this road of finding if the sidewalks had a historical significant impact on their designation. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that from my perspective back then, and it remains today, is that there's that fine balance being an administrator around those buildings. And it happened to come up at the time we had such significant snowfall pretty early in the season. And we were having a hard time as a city keeping up and making sure that we had roads completely plowed. And so if you don't have sidewalks to walk on, then you have kids that are walking in streets that may not be as wide as they ordinarily would.
Sure.
So, you know, that balance between, you know, recognizing history in our community and somebody's personal property with safety of children and making sure that everybody gets to school. So for me, it's been a balance, but we did give them an extension because it's a significant process in order to get that designation and going through all of the properties and certainly thank all of the volunteers that have helped him already. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty anxious for it to be figured out and so we can move on.
And that's what the commission asked for last night, was to put a deadline in place so that they have something now to work towards, come back to the commission and report on that.
And the deadline in place that also allows the city time, depending on what the historical society decides or what they determine, that we still could get sidewalks in if that's how it turns out.
Yes, in that year, because that was one of the topics is, you know, they wanted an 18-month extension, but the 18-month extension took it past two construction seasons. So it would have actually, they wouldn't have been able to, you know, if they didn't meet the criteria we wanted to put the sidewalks in or however it shakes out, it wouldn't have been able to move forward until 2021. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, so that doesn't.
And you mentioned that the sidewalk, the infill of the sidewalks, the gaps, was for public safety primarily, but isn't it also for mobility and encourage walkability, walkable community? So it isn't necessarily has the neighborhood survived without sidewalks so far? Well, of course they have. And do they need a neighborhood to have the sidewalk? That's really not the issue. It's just encouraging people to use sidewalks and move around the community more.
And it's also, I believe, in city ordinance that we have sidewalks. So it's law in the city of Bismarck that we have sidewalks. So if you're not going to have sidewalks, then there has to be a reason.
So at the end of this, if the whether or not they get historical designation, if they do have a historical designation in Highland Acres, it doesn't necessarily dictate sidewalks or no sidewalks. What will happen at the at that point?
Well, then I think that we would have to ask if the sidewalks make a significant impact. I guess that does not necessarily determine, but it certainly helps point them in a direction.
Okay.
And that's all they're looking for. I think they just, you know, it's a unique development. If you drive through it or walk through it, it, you know, there's the friendly cul-de-sac, which the snowplow operator doesn't like, but but it's, you know, it's a quiet neighborhood. You don't have a, I live a block east of 3rd Street, you know, so you don't have a lot of traffic on that. In Highland Acres, you have residential traffic.
Sure.
You know,
wasn't designed with through streets.
So. Right.
Significant neighborhood in our community. So when is the deadline then? When are they required to come back?
February of 2020.
Okay. All right.
We'll give them a date in February 20th. Right. It could be by February 28th of 2020, we should have an answer.
Sounds good. Another item that came back onto your agenda last night was transit and the green route. And this has to do with transportation out to the University of Mary. So your last meeting, it was determined Bisman Transit came forward with some alternatives, which the commission said no to. So they went back to the drawing board, and it sounds like Transit and University of Mary have had a few meetings and came forward with some recommendations that seemed to make sense to everybody.
I do. I agree with that. Good business always starts with good communication. So I think there was a disconnect in communication between Transit and the University of Mary as to how the appetite was and how it all wanted to go. And in fact, one of my research that I did for the meeting last night, I went all the way back to a meeting in December of 2016 so I could see the original, what happened when Mr. Rickert gave his presentation to the city commission.
So did you watch that?
I didn't watch it on our website? I did. Well, I clicked on the city website and it took me to that. So
great.
I'm sure you provided that access. So
it's a little plug there.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah. So I watched that and you know what? He did. He got up and he did a great job. He sold it to the five commissioners at that time. And each commissioner had a little reluctance to that. So I was surprised that they came back with the agreement that they did last night. I was happy for that. But I've been in sales and I construction now. And if I want to sell something to somebody, I need to follow through with it as well. Even if there's a disconnect in communication and it breaks down somehow, you still need to, you got to own that, to speak. Does that? So I was glad to see that. And I'll compliment Commissioner Guy on that, because I really think she was a driving force behind getting that done.
It sounds like it.
I really do.
So they brought forward a few conditions. One of them is that ridership must increase on a monthly basis, that University of Mary will buy some passes, distribute some passes to the students, and that they will work together, they being Transit and the University of Mary, they will work together on marketing and making sure that the information is out there.
And I also like that there's a survey component about how ridership is going, because I think that it is a great example of collaboration between these two that, I mean, I think they want the same thing, but they both have to own parts of it as well. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
You know, there has to be ownership as far as how many students are riding it from University of Mary, but then also to take a look at the quality of transportation that Transit is providing and making sure that they're doing their part as well. So I thought it was great, and I agree with Commissioner Zinkner that Commissioner Guy did significant work to bring that all together. Mm-hmm.
So we really launched another pilot project here, a demonstration project again for another year to see how it's going to work, at least through this school year, it sounds like.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, and I would say it's another pilot project with a little bit more emphasis and a little more meat to it. A little more meat to it.
Yeah. Yep. I think one of the nicest things are one of the biggest benefits that came out of it was also the establishment of a task force that Nancy Guy will chair, but will also bring in Bismarck State College and United Tribes to the table, along with you, Mary, to now start working on an overall student ridership program. That makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely.
Good to see that move forward.
Yep. And it only improves. I mean, we can't just provide the transportation and not tell anybody about it or look for ways to improve.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, this is certainly a proactive way of growing.
Right. And it's fluid. I mean, Roy said that more than one time in the commission meetings, that transit is fluid. Here's what I really hope happens, and I'm sure Commissioner Roban will appreciate this, is that we keep those students from BSC and United Tribes and University of Mary to our city, because we need those people. We need to grow our city, and to have a good, vibrant city, you need to have young, energetic replacements for us.
Absolutely.
I'm getting kind of old.
Absolutely.
Right?
You and me both.
He looked at you.
You and me both.
Oh, I look nice. Us, I said. Us. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll be watching that one. I'm sure it'll come back to us, and we'll talk about it again. Also on your agenda last night was discussion about the Bowen Avenue Commercial Center, which is, for all intents and purposes, is adjacent to or very close, just west of the event center. And that's been on the city's radar for a while. The city does own that property. I've got it up on a Google map right now. We'll kind of fly in here and take a look at that property. I know this Google map's a little older. I think it's 2015 is the date on the map. So it is shows a little more activity than maybe even is happening still over there. So it's primarily there. You have two tenants, as I understand, in the strip mall right now still.
So what we found out last night, there were two.
Yeah. Still operating two in there. So not good use of space. It's a very strategic location as far as services or retail in the community, very centrally located, and certainly with the event center right across the street and Kirkwood Mall, it's a prime piece of property. It was purchased by the city, I'm not sure how long ago, but primarily to hold it out for
Jason
is signaling us off camera. Well, how many years ago? 6 years ago, primarily as a potential site for a hotel that would serve as a convention hotel for the event center. Those plans incorporated 5 South and some other properties as well. It doesn't look like that's moving forward, so now it's what do you do with it? And you've received, I believe, some criticism as a city saying, why are you owning commercial property? It's sitting there. It's costing money. Why not put it back in the tax rolls and get something rolling? So,
yeah, and I'd ask the question, you know, in the last year, I mean, are we making money or losing money on owning this? And it didn't sound like we were making money, so there's no reason for us to hang on to it. And I know that there's some conversations in the community that talk about how the city should not be in the business of owning property, and how that might create some kind of competition between city and the private sector. And so I just think that at some point you just got to make a decision and move on.
And what was the decision that was made last night by the commission? What did you decide?
Well, we decided to list it.
We have to notify, and we have a contract, pre-existing contract with Bismarck
Futures.
Okay.
And they have right to first refusal, so there's a process that we have to go through for that. And I'm sure Janelle's already informed them today that our intent is to sell it. So
And they have 30 days to respond.
Yep.
Okay.
And if they choose not to take it, then it's going to go on the market. Yep. Right?
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So it could be an opportunity for lots of potential uses. It'd be kind of interesting to see what happens there. So we'll watch that one. Also on your agenda, Leslie, you had a lot of big items come up at the ETA, another discussion about the jurisdiction of the extraterritorial area surrounding Bismarck. Now, Bismarck and the county negotiated the ETA that exists now, correct? It's not a specific 2 mile or a 4 mile. It's somewhere in there.
And Century Code is very specific on what you can do, and I believe it's 4 miles for a city that's our size.
Is allowed.
Is the max.
Is allowed.
Right.
But it was 2013 that the city and the county negotiated exactly what that ETA would be, and it was unanimously voted on by both the city and the county. And so we are still operating under that agreement.
Okay, and we have a map up that for anyone who's listening on a television or online, you can see that boundary right now. This was supplied last night as well.
And I think it's important for everybody to realize that the city didn't determine this boundary. This was an agreement between the county and the city.
So what's happened is that there's some conversations happening between county commissioners and the mayor, and was it Commissioner Marquardt was also involved in that conversation? I'm not sure, but there's some conversations about how to work better and who has jurisdiction. So it came onto your agenda last night as a conversation. No action was really taken. I don't think it was really asked for. Am I correct? Really, the document that was provided did not necessarily ask for any particular action.
I think there was some confusion exactly what the document said and exactly what it meant supposed to be discussed.
I think there was a long discussion about communication and a commitment to, you know, everybody agreed that communication is always the key to getting along. But I think there was also agreement that there's ongoing communication all the time between staff of city and county.
And maybe the best thing that came out of that last night was just that it's on our radar. You know, and we are communicating from an elected official's perspective. Later on in the meeting, we talked about something else, and we found out that the county staff and the city staff work very well together. You know, so where's the disconnect? Yeah. Maybe we all got to put a little investigation hat on and find out where that is. And then if the staff of the county and the staff of the city are working well together, then maybe we have to, as elected officials, we just need to live with the ETA that we got, take a step back and let them work out some details in the communications. And if a problem arises, then we get involved a little bit more. But us as portfolio holders have to make sure we have communications with our department heads so those communications still take place between the city and the county. Mm-hmm. That's my perspective, I guess.
Yeah, it's providing leadership, but it was a staffing thing that came up last night. And then, like you said, and somebody from the county got up and it didn't sound like maybe it was as much of a staffing thing as...
Yeah.
And maybe it's specific staffing issues. Maybe it's other departments. So that, and then that falls on us as elected officials to get that fixed.
So it sounds like it's an ongoing discussion, and it may come back in some form or another.
It has to be a fluid discussion because it's always. If we want our city to be vibrant and we want it to grow, and we want the people within the ETA who are going to be future voters for Commissioner Oban and myself, you know, we have to take their considerations into effect when we make a decision.
So. Was that an announcement that you're running again?
We'll see. It's 20. When is it? 2022.
It's a little early, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. My youngest boy gets giddy when I leave. Oh, you're going on TV tonight, Dad? I'm like, yeah. You just go to football practice.
Well, so we'll move on. And that was kind of relates to the next item on your agenda last night was this sewer improvement district conversation that came up. I think it was a longer conversation than most had anticipated, and probably generated by some testimony at the beginning of the meeting where you had public testimony. Someone was talking about the purchase price of this land. Gabe Schell, your city engineer, reported on this big district. It's big, and it is the tail end of this drainage system, this watershed that's up in the northwest area. And there's a substantial amount of property that needs to be purchased by the city to make this happen. And I think that it sounded like that was a bit of the sticking point, was the purchase price was of concern because it seemed fairly high.
It certainly was my sticking point, and that was the item that I had focused on. And it's interesting, you know, talk about, we had several big items on the agenda last night, and whenever I walk into the room, and I'm sure every commissioner probably does, and you take note of how many people are there to think, okay, what are all these people here to talk about? Yeah. Which item would it be? I didn't realize that there were as many people for this item as there was, I think, for just about anything else.
It was very comparable between this item and Highland Acres.
Yep.
I would say that,
So in listening to that testimony at the very beginning was, I mean, and for people that don't think that matters, I mean, I can only speak from my perspective, but I think for anybody who's elected, if you show up to the meeting and you get up and say something, that carries a lot of weight.
I agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, an email is great and a phone call is great and all those things are valuable. But, you know, for those people who don't attend the meetings and then complain about the outcome, I would just suggest and push you.
It's important to you.
Absolutely. Yeah. People take note of it.
Well, get involved. That's the biggest thing. Get involved.
Well, and just the amount of land real estate that this covers is significant. This is a fast-growing area in the community, and it's going to connect some residential areas that are really important as far as city services. So this sewer
This is only stormwater.
Yeah.
That's it. There's no water or sanitary sewer. You know, after looking at this map for probably the 25th time, we probably should put another color on there to see what land we're actually buying. I'm gonna send that to Gabe today. Hey, how much of this are we actually buying? You know? And it affects parts of the ETA. There's so many. This is a very complicated, and we're going to have to work through it.
And there's a lot of growth out in this area, so it's a rapidly changing area.
Absolutely. Yeah, right now there's a surgical center going up. There's a new Light of Christ is building their new high school campus up there.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it's already been developed with, you know, and so.
Right.
Yeah.
So the commission decided to table this till the October meeting. I would assume it'll come back on your agenda and we'll hear more.
We will hear more
detail.
And we have our research to do. We
yep,
have more,
absolutely.
More questions to ask. And
so let's talk about the strategic plan. We're off the agenda from last night. We didn't take 3 hours to talk about it. But the strategic plan is moving forward. You're co-chairing that process. And we have a special meeting happening this Friday morning. So that'd be the Friday the 14th. 10 o'clock, we will televise that meeting and then put it online for people to watch. It sounds like you'll get a fairly substantial presentation that morning from the consultants. That's the plan so
That's
far?
That's our understanding.
That's our understanding, yeah. Well, and it's good because they already had one session where they met with breakout groups. Was that July?
Middle of July.
They took 2-3 days and talked to some people and
various groups
got some input.
Groups.
And
yep.
I'm very curious to see what they got. I attended one or two of those meetings. I purposely didn't go there for the entire thing because I wanted them to speak freely without a commissioner in the room. And so, of course, so new that maybe it didn't matter.
They collected all that information. They've done some research. They're putting things together to come back and present to you on Friday morning.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I assume they're going to also lay out what is next. Because I'd heard a little bit of feedback of thinking, well, if I didn't get to go to one of these focus groups, does that mean my voice isn't heard? No. There's going to be plenty of opportunities for you to still, including our street fair
Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's the other part of what we want to talk about is that people can come downtown during the street fair, which is this Friday and Saturday, 14th, 15th. You have a booth, number 203, I heard, on 4th Street, be by Makoche Studios, right in front of their operation there. So on down.
I have a time.
I have a time as well.
Okay. Starts at 10 o'clock, I believe 10 a.m. on Friday morning.
Friday morning. My time is 4 to 6 Friday.
And I'm 10 to noon on Saturday.
Sounds good.
Yep.
So people will be able to come over to the booth, talk to the consultants, talk to some of you, some city staff maybe there too, talk a little bit about the strategic plan. I heard there's some swag to give away, so people want that. But you're also taking input. You're having a survey. When they come to the booth, they'll take a survey?
There's a survey, and then I hopefully on Friday we go live with the website and the survey too, so we can get that out digitally as well.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, let's go back to the beginning, though. Why are we even doing this? What's the purpose of this particular process we're going through?
Well, I think that, you know, when you put together a strategic plan, you're talking a 3 to 5 year plan. And so the current strategic plan was, I think, finalized in 2012. I know it was started earlier, but the flood of 2011 kind of
hampered some stuff.
But I think it was finalized in 2012. Commissioner Asfig kind of led that charge. And so, I mean, it's 6 years later. And so if you're having a plan for 3 to 5 years and it's year six, you need to update it.
And I'm sure we've met all of our criteria that was in the previous one.
I don't know if we met all of it, but I know that we made significant progress.
Good point. Yeah. And maybe some of it didn't work out. So that's why. Yeah, great point.
And it's divided into sections, correct? I mean, you have different areas within the strategic plan. They're all intended to work together, but there's different areas.
And I think that was
of
kind of the idea of the focus groups all kind of gearing at those different
sections.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So we'll hear that report on Friday morning. That'll come forward. We'll be able to capture that. And then the street fair, come on down and... You're not selling any food. There won't be any turkey legs, but people can get a turkey leg. I think it's the Lions Club that sells them.
Yeah.
Walk over and talk to you guys and take the survey.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to, I said it last night at the commission meeting. I'll say it again. People in the ETA, doesn't matter if you live downtown, south side of town, north side of town, east, west. We want everybody's input, and we need to take everybody's input and make very diligent community decisions so our community can continue to grow.
Okay. And it is our intention to have KDAC Radio out there live with you, along with you guys, for some of that event at the street fair. So listen to KDAC, and we'll start talking about that and get people to come on down and help you out.
It's very exciting.
Yeah. All right.
Good stuff.
Well,
good
thanks
stuff.
For being here today. Appreciate all the input. It was a special day for us, so hope to have you back.
Thanks.
All right. Yeah, it was all good. Right. Yeah. I appreciate Commissioner Oban. He's been great on the strategic plan, and it's gonna work out because we both have the same vision and both the same concern, and that's the city of Bismarck.
Absolutely. The timeline on the plan, what is the timeline as we move forward? When do we expect to have the final report?
I know that a lot of the feedback that we're going to get from the public, I think, is the first step, and that's kind of where we're starting now. I also know that there is and I was very interested in making sure that kids and young people are involved.
Yeah.
There's some of those pieces that are still coming, working with the schools. But, you know, when that all gets rattled out, once winter rolls around, then we're not going out to street fairs and asking for information.
Fairs and parades.
But soon, and keep following the commission meetings, and there'll be updates there.
Yep,
absolutely.
As well as the website.
Okay, sounds good. We're out of time.
Thanks.
All right,
thanks again for coming in. And thank you for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, you can contact the City of Bismarck at bismarcknd.gov or by calling 701-355-1300. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you'd like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on KDAC 102.5 FM radio. It's also available as a podcast on kdacfm.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.